To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall, or call 855-58-LIBERTY.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas, locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The head of the Department of Homeland Security on Wednesday vigorously defended the use of federal law enforcement agents to respond to unrest in Portland, Oregon.
Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf, in a State of the Homeland address, pointed to a series of threats the agency has responded to this year. In particular, he rebutted the narrative that he says paints the federal officials as menacing and escalating chaos rather than protecting people and property. Wolf also praises DHS for its efforts to confront an array of threats, including the COVID-19 pandemic, cyber attacks, transnational criminal activity, illegal immigration, civil unrest, natural disasters, and malign actors. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The West is on fire today as blazes flare out of control from California to Oregon to Washington State. At a news conference, Oregon Governor Kate Brown says she's declared a statewide emergency.
Our number one priority right now is saving lives. As such, our statewide strategy is focused on life safety, evacuation, and protecting structures where possible.
Pacific Northwest firefighters say they're stunned by the intensity and speed of the blazes in areas that almost never experience such fire activity because of the zone's normally cool and wet climate. Journalist Bob Woodward's new book on President Trump has a segment on his handling of the coronavirus where he told the reporter he downplayed the severity of the illness. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden was outraged.
He knowingly and willingly lied about the threat it posed to the country for months.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany was asked if President Trump deliberately misled the American public about the coronavirus threat.
The president never downplayed the virus. Once again, the president expressed calm. The president was serious about this when Democrats were pursuing their sham impeachment.
On Wall Street, the Dow up by 440 points. The NASDAQ rose 294. The S&P advanced 67. More at townhall.com.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender, not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIFE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. Fifth Season Financial cares, and we're there for you for life. Text LIFE to 411-411. Text LIFE to 411-411.
Amazon.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
It's 404. This KMZQ Newsflash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, the Link Hotel will reopen for business beginning tomorrow, taking only weekend stays at the Caesars Entertainment property. The casino at the Link reopened on June 12th, but hotel rooms stayed closed. Caesars Entertainment will now have all of its properties at least partially open except for the Cromwell, Planet Hollywood, and the Rio. For the first time in 35 years, the rodeo is not coming to town as the COVID-19 pandemic forces this year's National Finals Rodeo to move from Las Vegas to Arlington, Texas. The NFR has been held in Las Vegas since moving from Oklahoma City way back in 1985. The 10-day event easily sells out and fills local hotels during a slow time of the year. The event, which has an economic impact of $200 million, is expected to return to Las Vegas next year. The NFR's contract with Las Vegas to host runs through 2024. Golden Knights netminder Robin Leonard notched his second straight shutout as Las Vegas blanked Dallas 3-0 in Game 2 of the Western Conference Final. The best-of-seven series is now tied at one game apiece and continues tomorrow. Puck drops at 5 on NBCSN.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Well, I'm looking at the traffic cams right now, and we're getting some slow flows in a couple of areas there on the Beltway, 215 westbound at Fort Apache, 215 eastbound at Eastern. We're also getting some slowing there through the resort, 15 north at Tropicana and south 15 at Cheyenne.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step, a lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Great to have you with us on this hump day, this Wednesday. And joining us now, Michael Schaus. He is the Communications Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. And he joins us. Michael, first of all, how you been? It's been a while. We were supposed to have the president in town not once but twice in our state this week. It looks like it's not going to happen. So what happened?
Yeah, you know, it's the same as all the other closures, like business closures and certain industry closures that are going on. It really depends on what the people in charge decide they want to allow or not allow. If everybody's wearing Black Lives Matter protest shirts rather than MAGA hats, who knows whether or not anybody would have gotten upset.
Do you think the governor was directly involved, or do you think his office may have been involved? I mean, what there are a lot of conspiracy theories going around as to what exactly happened. We'll talk with Michael McDonald coming up in an hour, and we'll get the straight skinny from the chair of the Nevada Republican Party. But do you think the governor was involved?
You know, it could also be that the venues themselves, looked at the current situation and said, look, we are not going to put ourselves at risk right now from the governor's office. So we're going to lead the shutdown in this case. There's a whole wide range of things that could have happened. I'll tell you this. The only person who's going to know for sure are the people who actually made the decision. And as of right now, from what I understand, everybody's still kind of pointing the finger at somebody else saying, no, we did it because of them. So I don't think you're going to get to the bottom of it right away.
By the way, the special Nevada Policy Research Institute report is brought to you by our friends at Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Also by Nevada Trucking Association, Paul Enos, and all the great people there. And my buddy Rico Aller from Carson Insulation. Do you think we're going overboard on this thing? I mean, could we have done this thing a different way rather than closing down the economy in our state and, making people, distance learn and all? Do you think we could have done this thing differently, and would the results have been different?
You know, from day one, that's actually what we've been arguing at Nevada Policy. If you look back in our archives at the very beginning of all this, we had pieces talking about the fact that a free society can still respond to an emergency. Something that we saw before the governor ever closed down any businesses, casinos and businesses were starting to shut down their own operations out of an abundance of caution. The NHL and the NBA postponed their playoff season. That cost them millions and millions of dollars, and they did it before any governor told them to. They did it simply to be safe. And that's what we saw time and time again, is that people understand how to respond to risk. And they could have done this on their own. We've seen it in countries such as Sweden, where, yes, they had some spikes in deaths, and they had some spikes in cases, but compared to the rest of Europe, they're right in the middle. They've got less deaths than the UK, which had draconian shutdown orders all across their country. So we could have stayed relatively free, and we could have handled this without a centrally planned response from the governor's office. And really, that's done a tremendous amount of economic damage, but it's also done a tremendous amount of just human cost. You think about how many people are out of work now and what that does to family relationships. Pretty soon we're going to be getting statistics on how domestic violence has gone up, suicides have gone up, how depression has gone up. There have been real physical human costs associated with this shutdown, in addition to all the economic ones we already know about.
Michael, the thing I worry about more than anything else, because we'll recover as a society, but the thing I worry about more than anything is the ability to give to one man, to a governor, emergency powers that supersede almost anything. I mean, the courts won't challenge him. Opposition parties are afraid to challenge him. And I just haven't seen this in my lifetime. You see this in third world countries, but you generally see it in America, where, you know, we've got the three branches of government and all of that. I worry that this may set a precedent that anytime the governor or a president wants to, you know, invoke, you know, special emergency powers, that all of a sudden our freedom is eroded, not just a little more, a little more, a little more, but entirely.
Yeah, you know, I think you are absolutely exactly right. And if you want proof of this, you don't have to look very far. Look at the TSA. You know, we all joke about how annoying it is that we have to take off our shoes and get patted down every time we go through the airport. That started off as an advisory agency after 9/11. And now they're all over the place, including on the roadways. They've got TSA checkpoints for certain truckers on the roadways. So any tiny bit of government power is always going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what we're seeing right now is really an abandonment on the state level, not just here in Nevada, but across the country, of the concept of self-government. The idea that the governor should have extraordinary powers in a time of emergency stems from the idea that they might need to take quick action. The problem is that quick action has turned into months and months and months of one man's political office deciding what businesses should or should not be open, what people are allowed to or not allowed to go to work, what schools can or cannot open. It's absurd the amount of power that we have given one man over our daily lives. And so that is actually something to be worried about, because it's not just a problem with Governor Sisolak. It's a problem with whoever it is that holds that office in the future. Regardless of party, regardless of ideology, whoever it is will be looking back on these times as precedent that, hey, I can do this because we've already done it before.
Well, and really, when you think about it, this will happen again. We will have, if not a pandemic, we'll have tornadoes, we'll have this, we'll have that. You know, we have been told now by the governor that systemic racism is some kind of disease and is a public health emergency. Can any governor in any state just declare an emergency and all of a sudden he's king?
Well, you know, it's starting to look that way. I mean, again, the first 2 weeks that this happened, remember, this all started as we need to shut things down for 15 days to flatten the curve. That was the argument, flatten the curve because we didn't want our hospitals overrun. And the goalposts have moved so much that at this point we're just talking about, are there new cases or not? Not whether or not more people are dying, not whether or not those cases represent a severe and legitimate risk to the average population. We're not even talking about which populations are more at risk than others. We're just talking about blanket number of cases. And based off of that, we're keeping some small business owners completely shut down. We're making it very difficult for others to make any sort of a profit. We're making a huge portion of our workforce in this state, we're making it illegal for them to actually go to work. It's amazing how much power there has been exerted over the past few months. And the fact that it's lasted this long tells you that it's something they'll be very willing to do it again in the future. If they were really hesitant about using the power that they have, after 2 weeks, there would have been a special session and the legislature would have addressed what we should be doing moving forward. That never happened.
Again, Michael Shouse joining us. He is Communications Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. And this special Nevada Policy Research Institute report brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Also by Nevada Trucking Association, my buddy Paul Enos and company. Man, I tell you, do they keep us in food and beverages and yes, even toilet paper at the worst of the pandemic. Yeah, the Nevada Trucking Association. Also by Rico Aller at Carson Insulation. Stick around. More to do as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. It is Wednesday. It's Hump Day on AM 670 KMZQ.
I want to assure this committee and the American public that the Postal Service is fully capable and committed to delivering the nation's election mail securely and on time.
But your Amazon packages? Nah, sorry. They're going to be really late.
AM 670 KMZQ.
It's time to get out with the old and in with the...
Woo!
At Finley Chevrolet, we have the largest selection of new Chevrolets in Southern Nevada. Get the Chevrolet you want at the price you deserve today.
Woo!
Finley Chevrolet at the 215 in South Rainbow. Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads.
Afraid that price for your new air conditioning unit was too high? Afraid that repair price on your AC unit was too much? Sticker shock.
Sticker shock.
Home air conditioning, your cure for sticker shock. Call Home Air Conditioning for free second pricing on your new air conditioning unit or AC repair. Home Air Conditioning voted the friendliest AC company in the valley. Call Danny for your free second pricing. 702-878-8367. Online at homeairlv.com.
This summer is hot. This year, if you're replacing your air conditioner, upgrade to a high-efficiency two-stage system. More power when you need it, and energy-saving mode to lower that power bill.
Home Air Conditioning, locally owned and operated, and your home for free second pricing. An A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and Contractors Board. Call Danny today, 702-878-8367.
702-878-8367. Online at homeairlv.com.
License number 51994.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Planning for retirement can be a daunting task. Two of the biggest mistakes you can make are failing to save and failing to plan. Here to shed some light on this is America's Wealth Coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta.
Yeah, and Steve, this is a big one because it's not just saving, because a lot of people are saving, doing a real good job, but have no idea what's going to happen with that savings when they need it the most. And to me, it's what we call the financial red zone. Age 52 and above, if we have a nice balance in the 401k, especially if we're in a 60, Steve, we need to make sure that we see what that balance is going to do for us in the future. In other words, what kind of income can we get on the balance we have? Because why are we saving money? Because companies have taken pensions away, so we're having to save for our own pension, otherwise known as the 401k, the 403b, and the thrift savings plan, or on our own in IRAs, or on our own outside of our IRAs. We have lump sums, but the main confusion I see across America is people do not know what that lump sum can translate to as far as a lifetime income strategy. Putting away the lump sum, making sure it grows when you're not needing it, make sure it's protected from going back down. It's great to have a lump sum, Steve. It's horrible to watch that lump sum dissipate, disappear, not be there when you need it the most. And we need to make sure we have a lifetime income plan built into our retirement strategy. You don't have a retirement plan unless you have that lifetime income plan. If you have a balance in a 401k over $100,000, if you're over 55, now's the time to get started. Steve, I'm going to waive our planning fee for the next 10 people who call. We'll put together for you your very own 205-minute retirement plan. We call it the total retirement plan. It'll take 205 minutes of your life. We'll do a lot more work on the backside, but then you'll have a lifetime income you can never outlive and take the worry out of living in retirement.
That sounds great, Coach. Just call 888-702-6932. That's 888-702-6932. Or simply text VEGAS to 21000. That's VEGAS to 21000.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada registered financial advisor.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
The Vegas heat is here and Meineke has a hot deal for you. Come in right now and get a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95. That's right, only $17.95 for a synthetic blend oil change. Visit your local Meineke Care Center today.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
55 days to Election Day. October 17 is the first day of early voting here in the state of Nevada. And Michael Schaus joining us to handicap what's going on out there. Michael, we have seen a number of polls that show that this thing is tightening up, that Biden's lead has literally evaporated in a number of states out there to where states like Florida are just dead even. How do you size this thing up?
You know, after the last presidential election, it's going to be really difficult for people to be taking most polls seriously very far in advance. It's just, when you look at the way that last election cycle went and you realize that some of the things that caused that to be an upset are still at play, it's really hard to believe that Biden would ever have a comfortable lead. Some of the things that were at play, for example, people were not telling pollsters who they were actually going to vote for.
You mean they lied?
Yeah, imagine that. You know, when you've got most of the media telling you that everybody who supports Trump is a racist or a bigot or a quote-unquote deplorable, if somebody calls you and you're average run-of-the-mill American and they ask, who are you going to vote for, you're probably not going to say Donald Trump. But when you get into that voting booth, you might feel a little bit different. So there are a lot of things like that that are not going to make polls terribly dependable. That being said, I think what really you should be paying attention to is what's going on day-to-day in the big picture. Step away from Twitter, step away from Facebook, and look at the things that most Americans are legitimately concerned about. That would be, for example, the violence going on in a lot of cities right now. That would still be COVID-19, regardless of how dangerous you think it might be. It's still having a major impact on your daily lives. Things like that, people are going to have to look at and say, do we trust Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Or do we trust Donald Trump? And a lot of people are probably still scratching their head, having a difficult time between the two of them if they weren't already committed.
We have a huge divide in this country. We've got racial divisions. We have racial identity stuff that's going on right now. And I guess my question is, we are seeing, at least in some polling, where African-American support for the president is up around 20%, 24%, 35% in one poll. We see the same thing with Hispanics. If those people of color don't vote Democrat, what does that mean to the Democrat coalition that gets cobbled together every 4 years?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it's even beyond just some of those minority groups. The Democrats have a lot of base support that they really, really just take for granted. Obviously, African-Americans are one of those big areas. But also you look at, for example, social justice warrior crowd. This is a Democrat base, a staple of the Democrat Party that they just assume they're always going to win. And yet you start looking up there, a lot of that crowd is extraordinarily upset that Kamala Harris is on the ticket with Joe Biden because she's got a history of being, you know, a DA, a prosecutor, putting people in prison. So there's a lot of folks that the Democrats are ignoring right now, African-Americans, social justice warriors, et cetera, that aren't happy with them. They might not necessarily switch over to Trump, but that's a lot of people who are not going to be terribly motivated to go to the polls. So the question is, basically, will their hatred for Donald Trump outweigh their disdain for Democrats right now? And a lot of folks probably aren't feeling terribly motivated by the Biden-Harris ticket.
And every time I look at the Trump schedule, a couple of weeks ago, he was in Mankato, Minnesota, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Yuma, Arizona, all in one day, all in one day. He was in Latrobe, Pennsylvania the other day. And I keep asking myself, and all the while, Joe Biden was in his basement. No public appearances for Joe Biden. Can he keep doing that?
You know, let's say this. Normally, I would say no. But imagine putting Joe Biden in front of a large group of people for an extended period of time. That would be disastrous to the Democrats as well. So they might be sitting there looking at the current landscape saying, this is actually our best bet. Very limited live events, mostly virtual, maybe a couple of small intimate gatherings with large donors, and that's going to be their best chance of success. Because I'll tell you what, you put Joe Biden in front of a large crowd, if you can get a large crowd to stand in front of Joe Biden, the man is going to create a gag reel for Republicans to start running the very next day in key swing districts. He's just not good at watching what he says. Say what you will about Donald Trump, even though he might say outrageous things or certainly tweet outrageous things, he really stays on message for the people that he's talking to. Whether you love it or hate it, he's very good at that. Joe Biden is not. He's believed so many different things over the years. He seems to confuse himself when he's asked to talk at length without a teleprompter.
And by the way, the former vice president is on the road in, Warren, Michigan. And the president's going to be in Freeland, Michigan, coming up tomorrow. But the president has said, if I need to do two and three and maybe even four events like he did back in 2016, again, do these hangar speeches, if he has to do that, he'll do it. And he's gonna double or triple the appearances of a Joe Biden. Can Joe Biden win that way in kind of the new equivalent of, I don't know if you remember, if you're old enough to remember, but the, you know, the Rose Garden strategy where you never go out of the Rose Garden?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the world is a very, very different place right now. Like I was just saying, the Democrats are taking a lot of their base for granted, and the base is starting to wake up to that, or at least some of the base is starting to wake up to that. And that's a challenge for Democrats in this current political environment, because we are so partisan and so divided as a nation between left and right that really, I mean, most of the people who are paying attention to politics on a daily basis already know who they're going to vote for. The so-called undecideds are out there, and so much of what's going on in the political world is just noise to them that it's really going to come down to how they feel about their current lot in life when they show up to the ballot box. And I'm not sure that Joe Biden can win a ton of those people over by staying in his basement. It definitely is going to be interesting to see whether or not that plays out, especially given just how messed up and strange and bizarre 2020 has been so far.
That is the understatement of the year, I think. What happens from here on out? And again, 55 days. October 17 is the first day of early voting. The ballots start going out. Am I right? First week of October is when the mail-in vote ballots start going out?
Yeah, I think so. Off the top of my head, I think that's right. It's you know, you're going to see the people who are really galvanized and already 100% sure that they are for Trump or for Biden. They're going to be the first ones to be throwing in those ballots. So I don't think you're going to really be able to predict a lot of states based off of what's coming in at that stage. At least in close states, you're not going to be able to. But one thing that you will be able to tell is just how motivated and how engaged and how excited the individual bases are based on how many of them are voting as early as they can. And that's going to be interesting, especially when you're looking at some of those close races and some of those close states, seeing which side seems to have that energy, that momentum, and that excitement, because whoever doesn't have that is really going to have to ramp things up and maybe even change their strategy in that last one.
And I want to ask you, and I've only got a minute, the law and order type of rhetoric from the president, is that a winning strategy or a losing strategy?
I think that there was a missed opportunity when all the protests started and everything to talk about law and order in the context of substantial reforms still need to be done. Right now, both